like the final play that wins the game.
Frederick Air, it's a good call.
Like taking your umbrella cause it felt like rain.
Frederick Air, it's a good call.
Hi, I'm Dave Schmidt of Frederick Air, a heating air conditioning company located in Frederick, Maryland. Founded in 1992, we were Frederick's only Bryant factory authorized dealer, a Mitsubishi Diamond Elite dealer, Medal of Excellence winner many times over, a Bryant National Dealer of the Year, and among many other honors, proudly voted the best heating and air company in Frederick County for the past 7 years. We're here to celebrate a milestone, 30 years serving Frederick and our community by answering questions about us, about Frederick Air, and about what it's like to be in business for 30 years. With me is founder, president, CEO of Frederick Air, and I'm very proud to say he's also my father, Steve Schmidt. As I mentioned before, Frederick Air was founded in 1992. What was it like to quit a stable job, a known future, and leap off the entrepreneurial cliff?
I'll never forget the day that I walked out of the heating and air conditioning company that I was working for as a residential salesman. And a couple of the guys were sitting in the shop. And as I was leaving, they said, "Hey, you know, aren't you taking us with you?" And I said, "Taking you with me to what? I don't even know if I'm going to have a job for myself. I don't know what's going to happen. How could I possibly be thinking I'm going to take you with me?" I mean, I had a good job. I was making a decision to alter the course of me. And, you know, I had a family. It was scary to walk out of there to the abyss.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those mouths that you had to feed. I didn't feel that. You always gave us a good, some projection of confidence around it, but it had to have been terrifying.
Sure. But of course, that's not something that I could, would, or ever have shown.
Yeah.
You know, there's been ups and downs. There's been scary times. There's been great times. To be a leader, these are not things that you show.
Yeah.
You know, you have to show steadiness.
Why Frederick, Maryland?
Well, you know, I grew up in Montgomery County, and down there, it's really busy and a little crazy. And I was living in there. I was working there. And in terms of heating and air conditioning, there was, you know, a million companies down there. And the thought of trying to establish something in that environment didn't make sense to me. So Frederick County being, you know, a little more rural, further away from D.C., and I knew for sure I never wanted to go back there again. I could have a better life for my family. You know, when I looked at the landscape of heating and air conditioning companies, of course, there were some players and there were people having success, but there wasn't this onslaught of company after company after company. So I thought, you know, it was fertile grounds for someone who wanted to give it a try.
Industry Lane, I remember this because I grew up in that building. So
sure.
That was the first office. Why?
I guess I'll answer that by saying, you know, I didn't know where I wanted to be, but I knew where I didn't want to be. And that was in our home. Because I wanted a separation between our home life and my work life. And I didn't think I could do that if upstairs was my office or down in the basement. And also, one of the things that has served us well over the years is being professional. And I didn't feel like a professional company was run out of somebody's home when it came to that. You know, I knew it couldn't stay there, so why start there? So even though it was a little bit more risk, I wanted to start in a building and an office, you know, somewhere not in the home. So there were some people that I knew that had other companies that were starting at the time, and we actually shared the space. We also had someone answering the phones that we split. Mm. They paid half their wage. I paid a quarter. The other company paid a quarter. So it was kind of crazy. We had one person up front answering the phones for three companies, and she simply, you know, whatever line rang, that was the one she picked up and answered Frederick Air. You know, that was a way to start out professional right from the get-go.
Whenever you think about those early days, you have to think about how different technology was, how we interacted with customers. From my perspective, there's really just one sound that makes that office to me. The dot matrix The dot matrix printer, like this sound is 95% of my childhood in that industry lane.
I think you know the story that, you know, when I first started, very quickly we bought a computer, and, you know, we're talking 1992. So I bought this computer and the printer and, you know, the screen and everything that went along with it. And we had this software that somebody I knew actually produced it and gave it to me for cheap. But it would actually, you know, run a heating and air conditioning company. So I called my dad. I said, hey, guess what? I bought a computer today. My dad said, really? Do you know how to use it? And I said, no, I don't know how to use it. I said, yeah, I mean, how I use it is I walk over to the reception desk and say, here, do this with the computer. And I said to my dad, I won't ever need to know how to run this computer. I won't need to know. I'm too old. Mm. Okay, I was 30 years old in 1992, and I seriously thought that I was beyond. I was too old to have the capacity to learn how to use a computer. So obviously, I couldn't be further from the truth.
So how early in the process did these little phrases that, I mean, I know so well and everybody, it's a good call, whatever it takes, where there's quality in the air, how old did those come about?
When I first started the company back in the early 90s, this is when this big push for quality was in the business world. Everything was about quality. It was a big buzzword. I came up with that phrase, where there's quality in the air. It was very appropriate back then in terms of the way the business world was going.
So before you even launched?
So I went through a whole training process on how to go through the quality process and make your company, you know, the definition of quality, conformance to customer requirements. So what's a quality car? Well, to somebody, a quality car is something very economical and has good, you know, fuel mileage. But to other people, a quality car is something that's, you know, high-end and beautiful-looking and, you know, corners well. Quality's different to people. So they taught us all these principles. So where there's quality in the air, you know, I just came up with that one day. And day one, I had my logo. It was emblazoned on the logo.
Mm-hmm.
I had all the service tickets. You know, I picked out the color. Everything was set before I ever even launched the company. That was part of the preparation, of course.
So what about whatever it takes and it's a good call?
Well, you know, whatever it takes is Bryant's tagline, has been for a long time. And we've been a Bryant dealer, you know, since day one. So that was great. Now, when it comes to it's a good call, that's kind of interesting, actually, because around 2010, we bought a building. And at the same time, we were more aligned with Bryant. Our color was blue. Theirs was red. So I said, well, I'd like to redo the logo and bring the red in so that we could co-brand. So I had someone doing the logo to just freshen it up a little bit. And they came to me and said, okay, well, you know, this where there's quality in there, that's your tagline, right? That's what you're running with. And I said, well, you know, hold on a minute.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this in 20 years, so.
Right. So it had been a while, and I thought, well, let me just think about that. So I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, gee, where there's quality in there, doesn't really, there's no call to action. There's no, it doesn't really do anything. It's just kind of there. And again, for the early 90s, it was very appropriate, but now we're in the 2010s. So I'm laying there in bed thinking, what in the world? How do you come up with a tagline for your business, you know?
Yeah.
So I just kept thinking, well, you know, we want people to call us. We want people to pick up that phone and call us. Now, you know, back then, people had phones, and we have them today, but who knows, you know, in the future, I might have to change it to it's a good thought, because maybe,
yes,
you know, sometime in the future, all you do is think it and you'll be connected. But
yeah, how soon will the idea of calling somebody not even exist
right
anymore, right?
But I figured making a call was going to stick around for a little while. So anyways, I'm laying there and I think, well, we are a good call. And I thought, oh, man, Frederick Air, it's a good call. That's great. So I call the company. I go, hey, I came up with it. Here's my new tagline. It's a good call. So, of course, I went on the internet and I checked everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a good call. You know, I didn't want to use somebody's tagline, you know, trademark. So, you know, I'm searching all over the internet. Nothing. I come up flat zero. Nobody's using It's a Good Call. I tell them to go for it. They send me the proof. It looks awesome. The next day, I'm watching TV. The football game is on. And it was some beer ad, whatever, Budweiser, Miller.
Yeah.
It's a good call. My teeth almost dropped out of my head. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I saw that ad one time, and I never saw it again. So fortunately, it was a short-lived thing for them. But let me tell you, my heart was pounding a little there because I thought I just had all this done. But hey, you know, now it's trademarked, just in case anybody's wondering. You're not stealing it from me.
You now own it,
yeah. So obviously people can say it, but you can't trademark it.
So what was the vision? What was the goal? You know, we now are blessed to have 40-plus employees. We're visiting 10,000 homes a year. Was that the objective? Were you thinking about that in any capacity the first day?
Not in any way possible. I was like, God, please let me make a living and support my family. That was like my only goal.
You weren't even thinking, oh, I'm going to have technicians, I'm going to have installers, I'm going to have salesmen, any of that.
Before I started, I knew there were heating and air conditioning companies that had technicians. They had people answering the phone. They had salespeople. They had installers. I knew it was possible. And to my credit, I knew that if they could do it, I could do it.
Mm.
I had that confidence. So, yeah, in the back of my mind, I knew where we were going to go at some point. But I didn't know if it was going to take 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years, 50 years. I had no idea.
So what was the hardest thing to start? Was it just doing it, making the decision, the risk you were taking? Or was it the customers? Was it the technology, the phone? Like, what was the hardest thing in that first year, that first couple of years?
I'd have to answer that by saying just the decision to actually do it was the hardest thing. I wanted to be in control of my destiny. And I knew that working for somebody else, I wasn't going to be in control of my potential.
That ability to overcome the risk, right? So that, do you think that over the last 30 years you've become better at that? You know, I mean, you've kind of talked in the beginning about how you've always hidden it, right? Like, you're not going to show this externally, right, to your team, to me, you know. But do you think that now, as you make these very important and very risky decisions as a business owner, that it is easier now, 30 years later?
I've become immune to it.
Yeah.
I say, oh, we have to do this, do it. I have zero anxiety about moving forward or making decisions for our future. I know it's going to work out. We've had some very tough days. And when I speak in front of groups about business things, you know, I always say, to get from zero to where I am, I'm very happy where I am, what I've done, how I've succeeded. But had I known the struggle and the pain and the anxiety along the way, I never would have set out on that path.
Yeah, if you had known the cost.
Yeah, the cost.
Yeah.
Nobody would knowingly do that. So thank God I didn't know, because I never would have done it. But, you know, hey, now that I'm here, and, you know, along the way, as I said, you know, you make all these decisions and, you know, it always works out. But that's because I'm paying attention. You know, it's not, I don't just make a decision and, you know, walk off into a field and look up.
What about some good memories? Is there anything that you remember fondly from the 90s, besides, of course, my Frederick Air Little League baseball team, you know, my stellar career? Besides that, anything about the 90s that you remember fondly about being just a couple of people? And
when it was smaller, you know, the relationships have always been super important to me. The relationships with not only the people that work with me, but our customers, seriously. You know, I mean, I was going to people's homes every 6 months. I was seeing them. I was sitting down and talking to them about something that's very important in your home is your comfort. You know, comfort is a big thing because this is your home we're talking about here. You know, the relationships, people and their lives and their families. And when you get to be 40, 50 people, that becomes a little more difficult. And as people come and go, you talked about the good things. You know, the hard thing is to see people come and go. That's very hurtful to me. Because everybody that joins the team, I want them to be there forever. I say to every person that ever comes to work at Frederick Air, I want to hand you your last paycheck.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the best feeling probably in all the years was maybe 5, 6, 7 years into the business. I go to church one day, and this woman comes running up to me. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you did. I said, what did I do? And she said, well, my uncle, he's elderly. He had a problem with his air conditioning. He called your company. He had someone out. It turns out that he had, you know, a problem with his compressor. It was, you know, bad. So he needed a new unit. So then they came out and they did an estimate and they gave him a very fair price. And then they come and they installed the system just, you know, within 2 or 3 days. We could do that back then. Now it's working perfectly and everything was wonderful. So thank you so much for everything you did. I didn't even know it occurred.
Mm-hmm.
For that to happen, that really was my goal. For someone to have a problem, for us to take care of it, for it to be done, and for them to be happy, that was the happiest moment of my life that it happened without me even being involved.
Yeah, I think it's a demonstration of the values that you had set into the company that everyone else was acting in that same way. I mean, literally the values are written all over the walls, right? And I know that we kind of formulated those specific words in the kind of the 2010s, but it seems to me that it's the same values that we've had. When I think about what you were teaching people about what they should say to customers, how they should treat people, these ideas, servant leadership, respecting others, not selling to customers. I mean, this is
sure, there were always a part. There were things that I was living from, you know, minute one.
Yeah.
That's what was within me to do the right thing, to treat people correctly, you know. And, you know, I had been abused by contractors in my young life, you know, so I knew what bad looked like. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be that.
I hear people say, you know, the key to my success was this. Do you think that there's a key to it?
You have to have the whole package. You have to be able to answer the phone. You have to be able to fix things. You have to be able to replace things. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to be able to make them feel comfortable with their decisions. You have to provide value. You have to be there in an emergency. You have to follow up, you know, just endless list of things. And if you fall down anywhere along that ladder, it's going to be a problem. So I always say our big secret, we do what we say we're going to do. We keep our word. You know, that's not so easy, as demonstrated by the fact that most companies, service companies, don't do what they say they're going to do. Hmm. They don't show up when they say they're going to do it. They don't bring the proper things. They don't communicate properly. They don't do a good job. They don't follow up. All these things, they just don't do, they can't do it because they're too busy, because they don't have the processes. We have the processes, and we have the motivation, because I'm telling everybody, you better do this job perfect. Nothing less than that is acceptable, really. I'm a perfectionist at heart, and I want things done perfect. That's it. People are paying us good money. We're doing good work.
Okay, so that's kind of internally, right? So you have to do what you say you're going to do. You have to work with excellence, all of those things. But what about kind of the external things? How did you make it through? Just because, you know, what's in my brain right now is COVID-19, obviously quite a difference in business. The supply chain right now, nobody can get anything. The economic crisis of 2008. How did you make it through all that?
Well, challenges come in all different shapes and sizes. And knowing how to deal with a challenge is a key, problem solving. You got to be able to see where this is leading, where this is going, what's going to happen. If I do this, this, and that, where is that going to lead to? So how am I going to overcome that when that comes? What am I going to do when that happens? Anticipating the problem and then coming up with a plan to eradicate that, to erase that. So it's a lot of thinking ahead. And, you know, I do that. Usually I say, okay, we got a problem. I'm not going to solve it right now. Maybe I have a little bit of time to think that night laying in bed or that morning when I'm driving in. Or you just need some time to process it and think, okay, so let me work this out here. This is going to happen, then that's going to happen, then this. Yeah, okay. But if we do this instead, so it's working out. It's working out a little puzzle, really.
How much of it do you think is cleverness and how much of it is just brute force? Well, I'm going to have to do it, so I'm going to do it, and it's effort.
As you have challenges and you have, you know, failures and successes, the more successes you have, the more confident you get.
Maybe I need to add a third thing. Maybe experience is the other thing, right?
Yes. You make enough decisions and you see the outcomes, you start to get very good at predicting the future of your actions. So, you know, I did get good at it, meaning it doesn't take me long. I know what's going to happen. I know what the outcome's going to be. But that's making so many decisions. I mean, in the old days when I was running the service department, I literally had, on a hot June morning at 8.05 a.m., four people on the phone waiting for me. I got two people standing in my door waiting on me, and I got three mechanics in the field wondering what the heck they're going to do next. 10, 15 decisions sitting right in front of you right now that have to be made. So you just start making those decisions. And, of course, every bit of success that you have that equips you for the next decision, it teaches you something.
Yeah.
So you get very good very quickly at making snap decisions. And once you're good at it, you get that ball rolling. I also, one of my keys, I never look back on a decision. Once I make the decision, I don't second guess myself. I go with it. And sure, if I made the wrong decision later on after the dust settles, I go, that wasn't a good decision.
Yeah, maybe you learn a lesson.
Yeah, won't do that again. But, you know, those come very hard. And usually, you know, in my business, you make a mistake, it's usually a big mistake.
Yeah.
You usually have to pay for it.
Yeah, there's a giant cost to it.
Right.
What are you the most proud of over these 30 years?
Remember earlier I said we started from zero. I'm nothing special. But from zero, we have arguably the best heating and air conditioning company in our county. Out of nothingness, we now have this entity that truly serves the community in many ways.
Yeah, I agree.
We're helping people solve their problems. We're investing into the county and the people in it. We're giving money away. People depend on us. There's a customer base being served in our county. I feel good about that. People can count on us. But then you have the whole family of the people that work at Frederick Air. So I see, you know, people having children and buying their first home. And, you know, I walk out in the parking lot and I see a brand new car and I think, wow, somebody who works here just bought a brand new car. That's awesome. Mm. That's a huge reward.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, you're around. I love having you around and being able to work with my kid. There's no greater joy. And then, you know, the legacy, the, you know, we're here. We're a part of the fabric. No one can argue that.
Whenever I see any kind of the evidence in the community of things we've done or members of our team have helped somebody, we've given back, or, you know, especially as we approach this 30th anniversary, I feel like I've done a lot of reflecting on this giving back to the community. And, you know, part of my job has been to look at that impact and eliminating where it's negative impact and increasing where it's positive impact. And while we don't want to brag, we do want to talk about our generosity. And if we talk about it, then our competitors, other people in our industry, other sure. business community have to kind of step up as well. And I think that that's the thing I'm most proud of, is that this idea of, you know, there's this ongoing, even if I didn't go to work today, even if we both didn't go to work today, they're going to be happier tonight than they were this morning.
Right.
And that to me is just, gosh, I think that's like a very important and lasting impact.
Absolutely.
You know, everything's changed, right? So 2010, you talked about, we got the new building, we got the new logo. And as we look at kind of the last decade, right? So we've been talking a lot about kind of that previous decade, so or the first and the second. So mm-hmm. when you were talking in 1992 to somebody about their air conditioner, I think you're almost in some way talking about a different thing
right.
than when you're talking to somebody about an air conditioner now. If you're running a business, you just got to be standing there and learning. I mean, that's it.
Well,
I mean, it's so different.
It's always changing. You hear that saying, you know, if you don't know what road you're on, any road will take you there. Well, you know, I always say, even if you do know what road you're on, if you're standing still, you're going to get run over.
Yeah.
That if you're not willing to take a look ahead and see what's coming and get on board and start riding down that road, you're going to be in big trouble.
But do you think that the customers have changed?
Well, the customers have changed, and I'm to blame for that, because we've always done whatever it takes to make our customers happy. So they get used to that. 30 years ago, if you replaced a part, the customer would say, well, gee, I wonder when that part was replaced last. And you would say, well, did you save your receipts? And if they didn't save their receipts, nobody had a clue when it was replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to fly today.
Agreed.
You better have that sitting right there in their iPad. They're depending on us for that information. And, of course, we are supplying it. So, yeah, have our customers become a little accustomed to high-quality service? That's my fault. Yeah, they have. And so, you know, we have to learn how to continue to up our game.
Okay, so last but certainly not least, after 30 years being in business, how is Frederick Air after all this time?
Frederick Air is awesome because of the people that we have that come to work every day at Frederick Air. We are stronger than we've ever been. We are better than we've ever been. We're friendlier than we've ever been. We're more accommodating than we've ever been. Everybody is at their peak of efficiency and pleasantry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a great place to work. It's a great thing for customers to be able to call and have someone who enjoys their job doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've had a lot of challenges lately, but we are strong. We've won every award in the book. We're respected in the community. We have great lives. Everybody who works with us or for us has a wonderful life. We're going down a great path. 30 years, it's been good.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't end it with you saying something you said 1,000 times to end every radio ad.
Sure. Well, just in case anybody is not aware, I'm Steve Schmidt, president of Frederick Air, Frederick's only Bryant Factory authorized dealer. Frederick Air and Bryant will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable this year. Frederick Air, it's a good call for over 30 years now.